So it's just, it's time to reach.
It's time to rejoice.
It's time to rejoice.
Oh, yeah.
No, oh, yeah.
Sounds so creepy this time.
All right. It's time to rejoice.
Welcome to the Rejoice Podcast, a place to listen again, choose wisely, and live joyfully. My name is Joe Pellerito. This is episode 12, A Double Word Day, Reveal and Release. Here at the Rejoice Pod, you hear valuable lessons from a variety of people who all have something in common, a reflective and resilient mindset. There are three basic steps to rejoice: name the experience, choose a rejoice word, and then tell us why that word means something to you. You can read more at rejoicepod.com, but now it's time for the show. As the saying goes, it's hard to give from an empty cup. Even when our cup seems to be filling up, there's a leak somewhere, and sometimes we're moving so fast, we're reacting, not reflecting. What's the topic this week? Well, you're about to hear three men talk about one aspect of self-care that not a lot of guys publicly talk about. Therapy. All right. So, hey, I first heard Ben and Jason on their own pod called The Threads Podcast after they were interviewed on the Eric Zane Show here in West Michigan. These guys know their why in discussing this topic. They also were a big reason why we've made it to episode 12 here at the Rejoice Pod. Brothers, thank you so much for helping me get this off of the ground. So let's fly.
All right.
So hello and welcome, Rejoice listeners. You get a special deal. You get a special deal today because it is a two-for-one deal.
Two-for-one.
Yes, two-for-one. Today, we have with us Mr. Ben Crocker and Jason Teary.
Hello.
All right. So a brief introduction here. Yep, three guys today, you know, talking about guys, guy stuff that a lot of guys don't like to talk about, you know, like feelings and stuff. Right?
Awkward.
Yeah.
Wait, so, that's what we're talking about?
Feelings.
Wait, yes.
Feelings.
I think I got an appointment. I'm out of here. Work.
Yeah. But hey, thanks for making the drive over for some Saturday breakfast. I guess it's not Saturday now.
Nope, it's President's Day.
That's right, it's President's Day. It feels like Saturday to me, but thanks for coming over here. And so last year, I began listening to you guys on the Threads podcast. So I guess you could consider me a thready.
Yep, you're wearing our merch. We appreciate that.
Hey, you bet. I say threadhead. You know, I'm a threadhead.
Threadhead.
Yeah, okay. Threadhead. So.
That works too.
And the show notes will definitely, you know, get a link up to your podcast.
How did you hear about us?
Through the Eric Zane Show.
Oh, he just is like, has a thread through all of us.
Oh, look at how quick that was. That was good.
It's like you thought about it.
I know.
So, you know, and I learned of Eric Zane through my brother Mike.
Okay.
He's definitely one of the original Zaniacs.
Yeah, who I called you Mike about three times until I had to, like, train my brain to say it's Joe, not Mike.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's all good. I'm actually used to being mixed up with my twin brother Mark. So,
yeah.
It's good to be mixed up with my older brother Mike.
Is he in GR?
Mike is. Yes.
Is he the one that like wore the sign like on the belt line? Oh, like yeah. when Eric was on BBL? That's him?
That is him.
Oh my goodness.
It's pretty awesome.
Are you as nutty as him?
I'm looking at my wife over your shoulder and she just nodded her head, so apparently I am.
All right.
But when it comes to Zaniacs, probably not quite as.
Yeah.
Yeah, I follow Mike around, though, that's for sure, and I do appreciate. I consider the Zane Show like kind of a guilty pleasure.
Yes.
I don't have to think a lot. I can laugh a lot.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Get along comfortable sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all good there. But I also understand, too, you not only do you do the Threads podcast together, there's some other podcasts you're doing right now, too.
Yeah, there's the GR Rideshare Adventures podcast. That's been going since December of 17. So we podcast every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's been going good.
Yeah.
It's been busy. We got a few sponsors.
So Jason, just really quick, GR Rideshare, what is that about?
It's just Grand Rapids Rideshare Adventure. So it originally started out with us. People might not like this, but we posted videos of people that were being complete idiots in the car. And so then we started gaining a following, and then we started making like $300-$400 a month in ad revenue. And so I was like, ah, let's start this. And then I've always loved podcasting, listening to podcasts. And I was like, let's start a podcast. So that kind of started down that road. But now we're more of a, I mean, we call ourselves what?
Infotainment.
Infotainment company.
Infotainment.
Hey, that's better. That's there you better.
Go. Good job correcting him, because you don't want to go the whole show and you got to adjust his channel.
Yeah.
So yeah, infotainment company. So we educate new drivers, and then we got a pretty good following. So
yeah, it's national, international, really.
Yeah, we live stream every 2 weeks too for about 2 hours at night, and yeah, and then I'm a producer on a podcast called Dad Up that's just started. That's with a daddy daughter organization. And then I'm producing another one, too, that hasn't quite aired yet.
Okay.
It's called Creative Ops. He's an author, and he's going to have people on there that are just creative and just interview them. So
that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
For sure. And I know some people who are really into the fatherhood thing and daddy-daughter stuff, and I'll make sure to connect you, because a good connection out in Lansing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
cool.
Great. And so, though, Ben, I know you are also – you have one going.
I do. I have not recorded in a little bit, but I have the Root of All Ben podcast. Just kind of it's essentially a journal, like whatever I'm thinking about or mulling over. I tend to put it on the podcast as just a way to get it out there and out of my head. So
I like the way you just described that. Like, I'm going to record what I'm thinking.
Yep.
You know?
And there's no schedule to it. I don't have a release. I was doing weekly for a while. Then that became every other week, and now it's whenever I can get to it.
Okay. So is that how you guys met? Was through a podcast idea, or how did you meet?
I don't know, Ben.
We've been over this.
I know, but I forget.
Such a foggy memory.
I am terrible.
So we're going to let, yeah, you got this, Ben.
Jason started this GR Rideshare Adventures podcast with just him. And
it was rough.
It was pretty rough. Episode one, I mean, I loved the idea behind it, but the execution of said idea was...
It was like 12 minutes,
yeah,
the first episode.
So I listened to it, and I was like, this could really be something. So I heard it and reached out to Jason over Facebook and said, hey, I checked out your podcast. I'd like to...
And you didn't really know him then?
Yeah, no. That's how we met?
That's how we met.
Wow.
But you were friends with Jesper.
Yes. So you knew of me.
You sent me a Facebook message?
I did.
So I can go back in my messages and scroll for about 6 weeks.
Exactly.
I think it's fantastic that it all started with some tough feedback I need to give you, and now we're friends.
That's been our relationship for the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I want to say it real quick, but the Root of All Ben. Ben is amazing at talking by himself. Like, I cannot do a podcast. I cannot monologue. I mean, he did admit that he did stop a lot of times and re-record because it wasn't live, which is okay. But, I mean, for me to monologue some of them were like 30 minutes. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I struggle. He's the eloquent talk. Eloquent?
Eloquent.
I said eloquent. Eloquent talker.
Okay.
Right. I'm kind of the, I don't know, what did you consider me? Other than an a-hole.
I mean, there's that. No, you're more of the super conversational. Like, you have to have another person in order to make it work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feed off everybody else.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Which is a great skill to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, I like to start with some good things. Something kind of like what you guys do. I don't remember what you call it on your podcast, where it's like the news of the week or the last 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, just a personal update.
Yeah, personal update, something good that's happening for you right now that you're excited about, either something that maybe just happened this weekend or something you're looking forward to. So anybody got one?
I do.
All right, go for it, Ben.
My daughter, Miracle, we have been kind of going through it with her. I'm sure we'll touch on this later in the show as well, but we adopted her when she was 8, and it's been an uphill battle for quite a few years, all 3 years that we've had her. But recently, we've been trying a couple different treatment approaches to her mental health and whatnot, and we're finally seeing some positive results.
All right.
And she's getting herself up in the morning for school. She's ready to go. She's doing her hair. All the things that were lacking and suffering for so long, she's now doing. And it's not a fight. And she's like a joy to be around again. So that's a big...
I'm cheering with you. You know,
big step up.
Yeah, to be able to, you know, to take care of yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
So, yeah, when she hit puberty, it just messed with everything.
Yeah.
And so now to have her treatment kind of working, it's like, thank God.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing, so for sure.
Yeah, it's been a fun few days with her. And I can't say that for, you know, the last year has been pretty rough, especially. So,
okay.
Feels like we're turning a corner. So good. That's my good news.
That's a great good thing.
I guess for me, I'm not trying to copycat Ben, but this weekend was supposed to be the daddy-daughter dance at my daughter's school, and I hate them. I hate them so much. I love her so much, but she's an independent gal, and so when we would go to these dances, you know, I have no dance. I mean, three beers in, let's do this.
They don't have those, though, do
no,
they?
No, not at the daddy-daughter dance, not at school. But
maybe you should talk to the school board. I know. About that.
Maybe I should get out of the party planning committee. Office throwback there.
Oh yeah, that's good.
It's my favorite show.
That's a great show.
Ben has never watched it, by the way.
Oh, I have to.
Oh, whatever. Do you want me to talk about the Office trivia fail?
That's pretty amazing.
Hey, I've seen every episode.
I've seen it multiple times.
Do you listen to the Office Ladies podcast?
No.
It's good.
And when I say I've seen every episode once.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah,
back to the daddy-daughter
dance. I can't dance, and she's independent. So we would go there, and we would do the slow dances, and then she would go hang out with her friends, which I'm totally cool with. Like, I don't want to cut a rug on the dance floor. But it just, it's, I hate it.
So what was good?
The good part of it is she came to me and said she didn't want to go to the dance. She wanted to spend time with me, which it cost me like $100 because we went to Red Robin, which is apparently really expensive with a tip. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the movies and saw Jumanji or the
Was it good?
It was good. We've never seen any of the Jumanji, so we were a little worried that we might not get it, but it was funny. It was PG-13 and there was some There was a testicle comment. There was a lot of...
What's a testicle?
Yeah, well,
I'm
she
sure
knows.
She's heard
I know.
Yeah,
I know, I know.
She's had sex ed. She's in sixth grade. And then there was like a couple GDs from Jack Black. And I think that would rattled her more than the testicle comment. But no, it was good. So it was, that I didn't have to go to the dance. But I got like individual time with her and with the busy life. It's tough, man. It's tough to spend time with your kids. You have to legit be intentional about it, and if you're not, it's going to go right on by.
So eating and laughing, I mean, that's the stuff that people remember, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good time.
There you go.
I did see the first Jumanji way back when with Robin Williams.
Yes.
It was pretty good.
It was great.
It was good. And so when the sequel came out, so the one before the one you just saw, I remember wondering, and it was good.
It was very good.
I mean, that's pretty rare. So it's good to hear the third one's good, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure who was in the first one. Was The Rock in there?
No. Oh, well, the very first one was Robin Williams.
Well, yeah, not the first one.
Sorry. Correct. The one you just saw probably had the same characters as the one before. Yeah, so those of you who can't hear what's going on right now, my son just jumped into the picture
because
he loves the movie. He loves the movie. So
awesome.
You're right, buddy. Yeah, same characters.
My daughter loved Kevin Hart. He was just so funny.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, hey.
What about you?
Me?
Yeah.
My good thing.
What's good?
Well, I'll tell you my good thing. All right. My son's home right now. It's midwinter break.
That's awesome.
But last night, Judy, Danny, and I. We're getting ready for a wedding this coming Saturday that we are singing at.
Oh,
whoa.
Really?
Okay. All three of you?
Yes. We're a Pella Trio. Pella Trio. We're singing the song from The Greatest Show. Well, don't worry, honey. It's not as by this time this is launched.
This
it will
is coming
be
out in November,
so it is a secret. We're surprising the couple with this. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's What's the name of the song? I can't remember. A Million Dreams. Yes, A Million Dreams. And Danny starts out, and then I echo in, and Judy's in it, and then we're all singing together. And it, I don't know. I got chills last night, you know, just around the kitchen.
And it's not because we're all that good. It's because it's a meaningful
gift. It's a meaningful gift, is what Judy just said, is that that's what's going to be fun about it. So that's my good thing.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So now we're going to go to the reflex part of this, and this is just a quick game, and we'll go quick. So the first one, you don't think hard, okay? I'm just going to give you the options, and on 1, 2, 3, bam, we say our answers and see if we got a like or not.
Okay.
Question one, vacation or staycation? Vacation or staycation? Are you ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Staycation.
All right. What did you say?
I said vacation.
Vacation. And then Jason and I both said staycation. So I'm going to start with Ben. Why vacation and where would you go?
Why vacation? It's in my blood. Growing up, we would do road trips every spring break with my family. And I think we're going to try to go to Myrtle Beach this year. So.
No, he's terrible. He cannot hear himself in his mic.
It's not the best mic either.
So it's a little. We're a little different. Our mic, we stay back a little bit, like almost a fist length. So we're not used to being like right up in it.
So I'm saying, yeah. And yeah. There's a brand new cover on the microphone, so you don't have to worry about that. There you go.
I'll get it germy pied.
That's right. So vacation, you grew up with it. Yep. And so staycation.
Yeah, we really like the staycations. We stay at the, my wife and I, when we do like anniversary stuff, we go to the, what is that hotel on M6 by?
Yeah.
I know, it's the right? Hyatt.
Yep.
It's a nice hotel. It's like $150 a night. I mean, the comforters are like these huge soft comforters and big pillows and just a beautiful room. And so we'll go there and then we go downtown. And we go to all the restaurants that Ben and I drop people off to and that we never eat at. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we just
had
one.
So when they
one.
Say drop people off, they're talking about Uber, they're talking about Lyft.
Yeah, sorry. Not strangers.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they are strangers.
They are strangers.
They're paying us.
Know. Yep. Cool. Well, and I say staycation too because for my job, I do travel a lot. And I do love travel. I really do. But like recently, someone said, "What'd you do for Christmas?" And I said, "Nothing."
Nothing.
And I was like, and it was great. That's, you know,
fantastic.
So. All right. Next one. All right. Run, lift, or row? Run, lift, or row? 1, 2, 3.
Run. Lift.
We had all three answers.
Wow.
Yep.
That's great. So, Jason, you're first this time.
I don't run now, but I used to run. Like, I ran in high school, I ran sprints, and then I started doing some half marathons, and I enjoyed it. And I don't know, like maybe 8 years ago, I was like in the best shape of my adult life. And but then it just kind of went down. I got like a knee injury and never really kind of recovered it. And then, now I'm fat. So I don't really do much exercise anymore.
All right. How about you, Ben?
I said row. Rowing, I love kayaking. And when I go to the gym, one of the first things I do is the rowing machine. Mm-hmm. So I am recovering from a back injury, so it's been a while. But I did hear that Planet Fitness just got a rowing machine, so I'm excited to go try it out now that I'm cleared for physical activity.
I love Planet Fitness.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a good place.
Do you go... Well, let's see. Yeah, there's one on Plainfield.
There is, okay. Right down the road from my house.
Now, I said lift, and it is because of Planet Fitness, but the truth is I like all of them. I'm training for a half marathon right now even, but lifting has been a part really the last 4 or 5 years. And I feel like if I don't lift, I get injured.
Okay.
So it is. It's kind of a part of a well-rounded routine. All right, last one for at least this part. Call, email, text, or polo. All right. Call, email, text, or polo. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Text.
Call. You're a liar. No, you're such a liar. You never call. We talk on the phone and it's like awkward.
Well, for my job, I make a bazillion
phone but
calls.
I mean, he wasn't talking about your job.
He didn't say what he was talking about.
No explain. You know, you don't have to think about it.
I was trying to put restrictions on me.
I'm sorry.
Ben, when you say calls, is it just because it's more meaningful? I mean, is that kind of what it is? Or
yes, I'm a fan of connection, and I feel like, especially in my job in sales, I make a better connection on the phone or in person than I do over email or text.
Yeah,
so
totally agree on the job front. I would much rather talk to somebody than
Yeah, but if it's a friend and I already know them, text, honestly.
It really does context. Context certainly does. And I said text just because that's my really quick way of staying connected with friends is to send a meme or, you know, some quick little text like that.
Well, I use a lot of voice messages, as you know, in our group chat. Yes. I have a problem with because I'm kind of an a-hole sometimes, and people take my writing as being fussy just because I can be fussy. So I send voice messages so you can hear my tone, like. You'll know if I'm fussy then because you'll be able to hear it. So Joe's like, oh, what's all these voice messages?
Actually, I appreciate I'm learning. Okay. I'm actually starting to do that more now.
It's nice. I mean, you're not doing this. Like some of that stuff you can't do like this. You just got to say it.
So what we're saying here, guys, is that you can text a voice message. Isn't that what it ends up being?
No, it's not voice to text. It's just a voice message. It's like a voicemail.
But it shows up in my text box. Is what I'm saying.
Correct.
So I open it up and it's you talking for
you just
8 seconds.
Yeah, you just hit play and then go, yeah.
Do you guys know what Polo is?
Yeah, like Marco Polo?
Yeah.
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 Well, not everyone does.
Yeah, I mean, we're of the age to know that. I bet the younger kids probably don't, but.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, hey, thanks for that. Now, fill in the blank. There's going to be two here. I'm going to have Jason go on this first one.
Okay? All right.
This is just for Jason.
Oh, boy.
Every spring, we receive calls from customers asking why their lawn still looks brown, while other lawns in their neighborhood are green and growing. The reason for this is some varieties of grass emerge from dormancy faster than others. For example, and this will be a name of a state, blank bluegrass comes out of dormancy very slowly, while ryegrass comes out of dormancy very early in the spring. Do you have the answer?
Yeah, that would be Kentucky.
Yay, Kentucky bluegrass.
That is exactly the spiel that we do in the spring all the time to our customers, because it's just like different grass varieties. Kentucky bluegrass takes forever. Ryegrass pops very quick. And
now, why would I even be asking that question?
I don't know. Why would you be?
Well, number one, I pulled it from the website of where you were.
Oh, you did?
So it's funny.
It sounded really familiar.
It's funny how you said that. You know, that's the spiel we give.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is.
I mean, it's true, but that is what we exactly say.
So this time of year, of course, you know, there's a lot of snow right now, but just around the corner, you're going to be getting busy.
Yeah, we're the last 3 years, we have started the third week of March. I know it seems crazy as you look out there that we wouldn't be, but it's just been like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the snow melts and
bam.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm so ready to get back to work.
Get me outside. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, your turn, Ben. And this is an odd one, okay? It's a little known history fact, but I think you'll connect it. During World War II, the only combat casualties that occurred in the continental United States happened at Gearhart Mountain of the state, where 6 people on a picnic accidentally triggered an unmanned balloon bomb that had floated across the Pacific originating from the Japanese military. And by the way, there were about 350 balloon bombs. One even made it as far as Iowa, but most were intercepted by the U.S. military. So where do you think Gearhart Mountain might be?
I'm going to have to say Oregon.
Hey, you got it. So I know a real odd way to name that state, but I found it really interesting.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
I mean, imagine, you know, it is kind of a tragic story, too. It was it was a mom and kids.
Oh, man.
On a picnic. Hey, what's this? Bam.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah. But why am I bringing up Oregon? Oregon, depending
there.
Who you are.
Sorry, my phone's ringing over here.
You know what? We have, like, the same cell phone.
I know. You were, like, grabbing it. Like, why does Ben have Joe's cell phone?
You have a wallet case?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
you guys are nerds.
Awesome. We are nerds, but I love it.
That's all right.
I'd rather lose one thing than two.
Yeah. So the reason Oregon is important is because for the first 7 years after college, that's where I lived. So, yep. And that's where we adopted our son and also our cat. So
and that cat has made it all the way across
she sure did.
The country. So that is correct. So thank you for that. And we're going to go ahead now and go to the meat of this podcast, and that's the rechoice word. And with these guys, they may have 2 different words. We're just going to find out. Okay? So I'm going to start with Ben, and then I'll go to Jason. So, Ben, what's your rechoice word?
My rechoice word is reveal.
Reveal. Okay. Jason, what's yours?
Release.
Release. Now, we are centering both reveal and release on a topic that I know these guys, it's close to their heart because it's on their Threads podcast a lot, and that is the idea of being able to see a therapist. Correct?
Yep.
Correct.
So, in short, you don't need to go really far into this right now, but, you know, for Ben, why did you pick reveal?
I picked reveal because, well, I've kind of got a rhyme to go with it.
Oh.
Or a motto.
Heck
wicca,
yeah.
Wicca, wicca. Oh,
yeah.
Not that kind
already
of rhyme.
Dropping the rhymes. Reveal so you can heal.
Oh, shoot. Look out. Can't heal if you don't feel.
Wow.
I'm done with my spiel.
No. All right. Oh, jeez.
That's awesome.
Sorry about that.
So, no, reveal to me, in order to really move forward in life, you have to be willing to reveal what's below the surface, mm-hmm. what's happening, so that you can heal. And that's the work that I've been doing in therapy, is really revealing not just things that are happening now, but going back to childhood, teenage years, whatever the case may be, early adulthood, and just putting things on the table so that we can draw from them and make connections and ultimately bring healing through mm-hmm. the process.
You know, they say, you know, you have to get a clue first before you, and a lot of times in self-awareness, we don't even know why we're feeling what we're feeling sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And that's what revealing, even the things that sometimes I'll be like, well, what does this have to do with anything we're talking about? But then we start talking and it's like, okay, so that's connected to that experience. No wonder that keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's good. Yeah. So a therapist helps you get there.
Absolutely.
All right. Jason, why release?
I think it's just, you know, in this podcast, not yours, but Threads has really helped that. It's just being able to talk about the things that may have happened and the growth I've made without judgment. I think with the way things have been in the last 20 years for me and just society, and even now, is just that stigma of, oh, you can't talk about mental health. And now I'm like, I tell everybody I go to a therapist, yeah, and it just feels great. Like, we peer pressure people into therapy. So it's like, just feels good to release those thoughts and not feel, and I may be getting judged, but I guess I don't care.
Yeah, right.
So
there is a freedom to that.
Yeah, there is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There is. Yeah, it feels good to just tell people. I'm like, yeah, I'm dealing with some crap, and this is what it is. And
how many times has somebody come up to you saying, oh my gosh, me too?
Yes.
But if we keep it hidden and we don't reveal it,
yes,
right? We don't reveal it, it's hard for people.
There's always someone else out there that is dealing with your same crap. And it's
true.
Good to have people in your circle that, you know, that are going through that stuff, and you can kind of lean on each other.
Well, so why do you think people don't talk, you know?
They're embarrassed.
Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. absolutely embarrassed, which I get it. I understand it because I felt it too for a long time. And I think that's what it is. They just don't want other people to know. But it's so weird. Like, if you have cancer, mm-hmm. you want everyone, right. Maybe you don't want everyone to know, but I mean, it's like, it's okay. But if you're like, yeah, I'm dealing with some crap, you know, I had a bad childhood or whatever, and now I'm this way, and like, okay, well, let's work on getting you back to somewhat of a, not normal, I hate using that word, but I was just going to spit it out, but a happier life.
Yeah, that's a good point that, you know, if my kid is an athlete and I want to get a coach for that, right?
Yeah.
Or we'll actually hire different experts for
yeah.
different things. And why wouldn't we do this?
The mental coach is huge.
Yeah.
I know a
yeah.
lot of and MMA and UFC, they all use mental coaches because that's a huge mental game.
Oh, for sure.
Because you're by yourself, you know, you're in that ring and you're doing your thing, and you got to be able to have your wits with you. And yeah, so I think mental is huge.
Some of the work I get to do with schools, we also work with some organizations, and I mean, like, you know, Fortune 500 companies and all that kind of stuff. And one thing that's interesting to me is that when you look at top performers,
mm-hmm.
one of the things they have in common is they have some kind of coach. They have some kind of, you know, that is going to, so if it's good for the best of the best, you know, a lot of the strongest people you can think of, they get help.
Yeah.
They get help.
Yeah. We talked over the weekend. We had some interview. We interviewed a life coach and we were quite shocked how well the interview went, because what is your reaction when you hear life coach?
There's two sides right there. One for my immediate impulse is that's great. Everyone needs one. But if I'm honest, the first thing is anyone can be one, right? Well, right. Anybody can get a, you know, so
what I think is like, oh, you're so bougie. You need a life coach. Like,
I see what you're saying.
You know,
like
that kind
self-help.
Of
help.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. So we went into that interview with not a bad attitude, but Ben and I were like, all right, here we go. And hit record, and it was good. She was really great. She was down to earth, and she, you know, she didn't come across as like Tony Robbins. Nothing against Tony Robbins, if you like Tony Robbins, but
no. And I even called her on a couple of, you know, stereotypical views of life coaches, and she was on her A game. Like she was able to speak to them and was like, "Yeah, I understand where people are coming from when they say that, but this is how I do things differently."
It was just nice by the end of the interview, like a 30-minute interview, I'm like, I could use one of those.
Right. Well, why wouldn't we want somebody to just ask us some good questions, you know?
Yeah, just challenge us.
Yeah, I can't see me the way somebody else sees me, you know? And sometimes it just brings a good highlight of, oh, I didn't even know I was doing that.
Ben, I think I should be a life coach. Cuz I tell you stuff, I tell him things that he may want to see, and he gets mad at me, but it's okay. We love each other.
But I think it's a good skill.
It's good. I just have a tendency to give unsolicited advice, so sometimes.
Okay. Well,
you're getting better.
I'm getting better.
I see progress.
Before we get into the why you see therapists and all that kind of stuff, I just want to say...
got 2 hours?
Exactly, right. But I also want to... ask one more, and it's specific to guys. We already addressed why people in general don't want to see a therapist. What makes it hard for a guy?
You have know? This desire,
I mean, we got three guys sitting around the table here having breakfast. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right?
Right. So I think it's because part of the male persona in at least American culture is to be the provider, the one that just kind of, you know, gets up, goes to work, does their thing, comes home, unwinds, and get up, repeat, do the same thing the next day. And if you are filling that role in life, it's difficult to acknowledge when you need help, because people are looking to you. Like, they're expecting something of you, whether it's your family expecting you to take care of them, or on the job, your boss is looking for you to perform your best. It's difficult to stop that grind and say, hey, something's not right and I need to fix this, because it takes you out of that comfort zone of just doing your thing. And so I think so many guys are just so busy doing their thing and performing that it's difficult to stop and say, hey, something's not working very well right now. Let's figure this out.
And I think too, as guys, we do different options instead of seeing a therapist.
Yes.
Right.
Like what?
Oh, you know, numbing out. Yeah. I'm gonna go go crazy for a night, and then, you know, like, instead of dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It doesn't apply in my life. I don't know if it does for Ben, but I don't know. I don't do that. I don't know what I do. I go see a therapist.
You just podcast all the time.
Constantly in my studio podcasting.
All right. So to be blunt, what's the point? What's the point in seeing a therapist? I mean, why do you continue to go? Maybe I should ask that, because for you guys, and you joked about it, we peer pressure people to go see a therapist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it a one and done, or is it a lifelong thing? Or?
It's cool that you brought that up, because, again, another interview, we were talking to, I think it was an actual therapist.
She was, yep.
And she talked about when her patients graduate. And I really was thinking that. And the interview kind of went on. I'm
That's
like,
interesting. That's the concept of graduating.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of, well, she uses that word, I guess, because she doesn't want to use the word discharged or terminate. You know what I mean? Which makes sense.
That's
it's
true.
Kind of a mean word. But I was like, I don't think I ever want to graduate from therapy. Hmm. I think we're all a work in progress. And I think you need to go regularly. I don't know if you have to go every week or every 2 weeks. I mean, I range. Right now I'm going every 2 weeks. But I've gone every month and those kind of things. So, yeah, I don't think you ever stop going to therapy. Maybe you have a year break. I don't know. I mean, it's all up to the individual.
Do you know what I like what you're saying, though, is that when do we traditionally go see one?
Oh, when something major happens.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's almost like too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I shouldn't say too late. We wait
reactive.
Until it's a crisis.
Yes. Exactly.
It's reactive. Mm-hmm. That's the word. Yes.
Yes.
It's reactive.
Nice reword, dude.
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Shoot.
I know you hate this, but I got to give him five because that was great.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, it's more reactive. You know, like, I think more people need to go to marriage counseling. Unfortunately, insurance, a lot of insurance don't cover that, but. Man, it's been helpful for my wife and I. In fact, we've been going through some stuff, and I was just like, we got to go back. Like, and it's just amazing to have someone that you can bounce stuff off from. And so I don't think you ever graduate.
All right. What's the point, Ben?
The point is, man, I could take that in so many different directions. But for me, the point of going to therapy is it's a space for me to deal with whatever's on my plate in a judgment-free zone with somebody who's not going to, you know, react poorly or snap at me or tell me to cut it out. It's a space where all the stuff that goes through my head, I can get out with a professional who is trained in listening and also guiding and asking the right questions to bring you forward, to help you move forward in life. So for me, it's proactive. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, therapy was definitely reactive. Like, things were falling apart. Life was getting off the rails. I needed some help. But now, it's like we're getting to a place where it's almost a maintenance phase. And it's just, it's being proactive. Dealing with the stuff that runs through my mind. Giving it an outlet. One of my biggest struggles, and Jason can attest to this, is I tend to bottle things up until I just can't. And then I release them in very poor ways. Mm-hmm. And it gets ugly.
And so, there's some damage.
Yeah, and there's damage. Yeah. So there's...
Hulk smash.
Right? So for me, it's proactive because it gives me a space to get that stuff out of my head. And even if it's not, like, well said or well rehearsed, I can just say whatever's top of mind, and it's enough. Mm-hmm. And it gives the therapist a chance to really dig in and, you know, help me see things differently. So
you go to Planet Fitness because it's a judgment-free zone.
There you go.
And you see your therapist because they Planet Witness to what you're feeling in a judgment-free zone.
Yeah, man.
They're both shaking their heads right now. And
holy
just,
dad jokes on this right? podcast.
Hey, by the way, for the Father's Day broadcast that I want to do, it's going to be all dad jokes. So get ready to participate.
All right.
And you're right. The shaking of your head, that's my like my son and my wife's like life. Is shaking their heads. So.
I kind of want to, if it's okay, jump on what
yes,
Ben
please
said.
Do.
You know, we talk about peer pressure and therapy. I legit peer pressured Ben into therapy. Mm. Ben had a, we talk about the stigma or the stigma. He didn't like to use the word therapist.
Right.
You know, that had been a thread for a long time. He would say counselor because he felt that he didn't want people to know that he was going to a therapist. And that's okay. Like, that's what we're trying to break through, but he's come a long way and he's just like, now he peer pressures people to go to therapy. So he's done a real good job of living what we actually talk about. So
yeah.
Nice
and,
job. Yeah.
You know, it took a while. I saw, I think, two therapists, counselors, whatever you want to call them.
Life coach.
Oh, I shouldn't have brought it coaches. Up because he's gotten away from the word counselor.
I know.
Well, they don't call it life therapist.
Yeah.
They call it life coach.
Yeah.
Well, whatever your terminology, right?
Yes.
So coach therapy. I moved back to Michigan, yeah. And when we moved to Grand Rapids, there was some baggage I was carrying around from how things wrapped up in Oregon. It wasn't good in any stretch of the imagination.
Good transition, by the way, because I was about to ask you what got you.
I'm just kind of jumping right ahead.
And go right ahead, and for both of you, as detailed or not, as you want.
Okay? Yeah. All right. So, well, it was really moving back to Michigan, being around my family after not being around them for 7 years, really questioning what is my purpose in life, like what's my career going to be. I thought it was this, but it just, the bottom fell out and things mm-hmm. got really rocky. I had gone through a significant period of loss. The first student that I ever met, and my background is in youth ministry professionally. It's what I went to school for. And after graduating from Cornerstone, I moved out to Oregon. And one of the first kids that I met was Luke. And he was riding his BMX bike through the ditch in front of my house, of course, without permission. So one night I saw him out there. Like, he would come back every night around the same time in the summer. And so I saw him out there, and he initially kind of looked at me like, oh, crap, I'm not supposed to be here. But I just walked over to him and just said, hey, looks like you're pretty good on that BMX bike. And, you know, slowly built a relationship, and then he started coming to the youth program that I led. And so Luke was like the first kid that I met in a professional perspective, I guess. And fast forward probably 5 or 6 years, Luke passed away in a BMX accident. Mm. And that was a huge loss for me. And then that happened. And then I lost my job at the church that I was working at. It was a second church. And then after that loss, or in the midst of that loss, there were 3 foster kids that were in my wife and I's care. And we had intended on adopting them, but the Oregon Supreme Court essentially got involved and gave the biological parents their rights back, which was
after
telling us that we were clear to adopt. I mean, we had even changed the kids' names, and we had told the kids that we were going to be adopting them, and we...
So they felt assured, you felt assured.
Yeah, we all had this big collective sigh of relief, because it was a battle to get to that point. And then the parents appealed the decision at the Supreme Court level in Oregon, and we were told, don't worry about it, it's just a formality. This is an ironclad case. Nothing's going to happen. But something did happen. Mm-hmm. Parents' rights were given back. And so we went from being a family of 6 to being a family of 3. And pretty much overnight, it was devastating, to say the least. So, and then losing my job at the church, losing Luke, losing the kids, it seemed like everything about my life was just loss. And I was lost.
Well, and I think about your coping patterns up to that point, you know, was stuff it down.
Exactly.
Don't deal with this.
Yeah. Like, I'm the man of the house. I'm supposed to be getting my family through this time. I'm going to just buckle down and find a job, whatever field I can. I tried for 9 months in Oregon and just could not find any work. And so we just ran out of money and ended up moving in with my parents. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it was a pretty devastating time. So once I did find work here in Michigan, which was a crazy journey, I had insurance. And so I pursued, I called it a counselor at the time, but really I pursued therapy and met the first guy. He was a Christian therapist. It was pretty decent. I mean, we didn't really go super deep, but we did enough work to make me functional in my job and in the home. And then we just kind of drifted apart. I didn't feel like it was being super effective. And then I started seeing a different guy. He was a old curmudgeon-y guy. I mean, he knew his stuff, but...
He had some book knowledge.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He really did. And he worked with some pretty famous... therapist.
Well, I'm afraid our time is up, so thank you. No, because that happens too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he would just say things like, just call me when you need me at the end of our sessions. And I'm just like, really?
Yeah. I'm not feeling like I'm done. I feel like I need to keep going. And so I just kind of drifted from him. And then that's when Jason was like, dude, you're not done yet.
Yeah.
You got to get back to therapy. There's some rough edges I'm seeing still. And I was like, all right, you're right. It was probably a good couple of months before I actually found somebody again and started going regularly. So my encouragement to any listeners is the first person you see may not be the best fit. The second person you see may not be the best fit, but you'll find it. And when you do, it's incredible the value that you get out of going to see somebody regularly. And it truly is life-changing. Mm. So yeah, for me, it was the loss that ultimately led me to go to therapy. And now that I've kind of dealt with and sorted through as much as I can all of those losses, now I go because I want to be proactive in life. Instead of reacting, I want to, work on stuff beforehand so that it doesn't blow up and become a big thing.
Thank you. Thanks for so openly sharing that. And also, you can tell you've done the work because you're able to even describe it.
Yeah.
You know, the way you are.
Yeah.
So way to go, man.
Thank you.
And we'll discuss other, you know, I'm glad you were talking about the different options or the, you might have to try again, and we'll get to that in a minute. But we're going to go to Jason right now.
Yeah, just to reiterate on the, I wouldn't do more than three times with someone if it's not firing then. Because what happens is people are like, I don't want to tell my story again. Well, then don't do more than three.
Yeah.
Like, because if you do six and have the same results, you feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You feel like you have to stay committed to them, and you don't really have to. So I'm just throwing that out there.
And I think a lot of us, we feel bad.
Yes.
I don't want to feel bad and cut our relationship.
It's business.
They're on to the next person. So
it's business.
Yeah.
So, and you're paying them, so don't feel bad. Like, they are working for you. And if you don't like the service, like, if you get bad service at Chick-fil-A, never would happen. Or McDonald's, it happens all the time. You would be pissed, right? You'd be like, no, I'm not going to be treated this way. Or not to say the therapist would treat you bad, but it's, if it's just not working, it's okay. I mean, it's just part of life. Yep. We don't all get along.
Well, hey, so what got you there?
I mean, mine's not Ben, again, the eloquent talker. Like, I don't have that. I just had a shitty childhood. Like, I grew up in a pretty abusive home. My mother abused me till about 13, and I was strong enough to stop her, and then it stopped. But then it continued with my sisters, and it turned me like into an ass. Oh, I don't know if I can say that. It turned me into
an a-hole.
A-hole.
You said a-hole. Hey, it's all right. I'll mark this one explicit.
Yeah. Sorry. I think you can get away with it if you just don't say the F word.
Okay.
All but right. That abuse turned me into somebody that was angry all the time.
Yeah.
And, you said Hulk smash earlier, but like I would Hulk smash. I mean, not literally, but I would be screaming. I would break stuff. So it just, that's what started it out. And as I got older, I've always had terrible relationships with women. My first girlfriend was okay. And then I met my ex-wife, and that was just terrible. And I've just had terrible relationships with women. And
you kind of draw it back to the beginning.
I mean, I never really had a mom, and right now this, and I hate saying this, but I you know, we talked about the release, but my mom is in an assisted living home with Alzheimer's, and I don't see her. She lives a mile from me right now in Granville, and I don't go visit her. I mean, I will on the holidays and stuff like that, and I have no desire. And each of my siblings have taken different roles on how to deal with this this grief of losing a mom. I mean, she hasn't passed, but I mean, she kind of knows what's going on, but not really. I mean, she has to be fed. You know, she can't eat on her own and stuff. So it's just...
That word release really does paint the picture of what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
I didn't picture that right away, but what you're saying... Go ahead and continue.
Yeah. So it was terrible. Mm-hmm. It was terrible, and it's really shaped the way that I am today. And it's I've been working to rewire, reword, thank you.
Yeah, look at my
brain, trying to dabble in with my therapist called EMDR, and I'm very, I'm kind of afraid of it, which I, it's hard for me to say that because I consider myself, like, I just like go into stuff. Right, Ben?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. I have a drum set in my basement. Did that for a year. I did bees. I still have one beehive left. I did that for a couple years. Yeah. So it's like, so far the podcasting has been the longest thing that I've stuck with. But yeah, it's just one of those things. I lost my train of thought. I'm terrible. What did I say before that?
We're coming back to that word release, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, being, you were saying that, or at least this is how I was interpreting, that you... There comes a point where I'm going to release what had power over me.
Yeah. So, yeah, the relationships with women and stuff. And that's, So I'm going to therapy to try to rewire my brain to in healthy ways. And the EMDR is something that that does that, but it's like a control thing. Basically, what's a dumb way to describe it? You have like stimuli in your hand that vibrates. Mm-hmm. And you kind of, it's like you're on a train and you're just thinking about your past and you're just watching it go by.
An observer.
Yeah. It's not quite being hypnotized, but it kind of is. So I'm a little afraid of that because I'm having trouble releasing control in that situation. But so I'm doing just the regular therapy now and it's been helpful. One of the things that I'm struggling with, if it's okay to keep going a little bit, is with my wife right now, is I needed to lean on her. She's a healthy person. Like she was my angel. And when we got together, I was like leaning on her. And then as I've gotten better, I've kind of realized what kind of person I am. And I'm kind of a loner. I kind of do my own thing. So now I have to work on connecting back with her. Yeah. So that's where I'm struggling right now. Like, I'm like, I'm okay. I feel healthy. I don't have to be with, I don't need you. Not to be mean, but
no,
like,
I understand.
I'm like, I can be, I'm an okay person to just be alone for like days and don't need the connection for her. And she's like, hey, well,
Think of what her role was before, right? I don't know her well at all, really.
Yeah.
but I'm guessing nurturer.
Yep.
And absolutely. So for her, it fulfills a role for her.
Yeah.
Like, she feels valued. She feels, and so it's like, wait, you're not leaning on me.
Yeah. And she's working on her own stuff. And so we're in the weeds right now. I mean, we are in the weeds, but we're working through it. So, and that a lot of it has to do with me. I need to be more observant and be more connecting. So
that's great.
That's where I'm at.
I think a lot of people are probably there.
Yes. but won't talk about it.
Yeah. There you go. That's why we're doing it.
That's one thing I talked to Megan about. I'm like, I don't want to be when the kids graduate from high school. We both go, peace out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a ton of relationships that are like that. And I'm like, I can't wait to grow old with you and we can just sip coffee. Like, I want to jump to that. I don't know why. Like, I want to retire in 20 years and be on the lake and just be like, yeah, this is the life. But I want her with me. So,
yeah. So, what frustrates you about therapy? We already heard one.
Yeah.
Meaning like somebody who doesn't seem to be really excited. I didn't say the word excited. That's not the right word, but
attentive.
Not attentive. There you go.
Yeah.
So that's one. I mean, think about, I know for me, and I have never really talked about like my own therapy options and all of that, but I certainly know a barrier that people will bring up frequently is cost.
Yes.
Right.
One of the issues I'm dealing with, speaking of cost, is my therapist moved buildings and Priority Health said nope. So now I pay $108 each session. Mm-hmm. I was paying $30 before, but I won't give it up. Like, I'll work extra shifts to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So, but cost is an issue. We talked about that over the weekend. It's this weird barrier between, I have great insurance, or Medicaid. It's the people in between she talked about, right? Yep. That don't quite qualify for Medicaid or Medicare or whatever. I don't know. One's for old, one's for underprivileged, but that don't have the money to do that. And I mean, the $108 I pay is actually a sliding low scale. It's normally like $150.
Yeah.
So
cost is definitely one barrier. Yeah.
I think another frustration is, after the session ends, you don't always feel super great. Like, sometimes I leave and I'm like, exhausted. It's like, man, that is just tiring, going through and unearthing all this stuff and making these connections.
It truly go to work.
Is hard work. Exactly. So I've been going Tuesdays at 10 every week since the summer. And I talked to my boss about it. And I just said, sometimes it's really hard to jump back into work. And without even thinking about it, he just said, well, don't. Just come back after lunch. I was like, wait, seriously?
Really?
He's like, yeah, your salary. I mean, just do what you got to do. Make sure you're not falling behind. But if you need some time after therapy, that's cool. I was like, oh.
How awesome is that to have an understanding boss like that?
It's phenomenal. Wow. Seriously. So, you know, I have really been blessed with the employer I work for. They offer insurance that covers the mental health piece. They understand that I've been through it, you know, in life, and in a lot of ways I'm still going through it with my daughter. They've offered me such grace and understanding, so I feel like I'm in a really good spot. But that is definitely a frustration with therapy. It's work, and it's hard work, and it can be just mentally draining. Now, that's like the immediate whatever you call it, after effect. Mm-hmm. But long term, like going into the rest of the week, I genuinely feel great. It's just, you know, you got to reveal the stuff so you can heal. And it's not easy, but the healing that it brings is just incredible.
I think the other barrier is just the people knowing that you're going to therapy.
Back to the stigma.
Right. And that's why we're talking about it more. It's like, it's okay. I know, Joe Blow, do you really care what your mother thinks or your aunt or your friend? Like, it's about you. Take care of you.
I'm always surprised, too, that when whatever it is revealed, and then you realize it's really not that big of a deal.
No. Yeah.
Like, people are focused on their own stuff, so they're like, oh, okay. Cool. So anyway, and they're like, oh, wow, that wasn't that big of a deal.
I told my boss to F off last week, so what you said is not a big deal. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
have you ever said that to your boss?
No, my boss is, they are the most loving people on the face of this earth. That's awesome. Never say that.
I want to look at that word stigma again, because, you know, I was just reading an article recently. And it was actually about, this is an interesting take here, but it's about student athletes at small colleges and how a lot of small colleges don't have a therapist on site or, you know, counselor or whatever. And how many of, like, it's pretty sad. It was about a student athlete who had committed suicide. But that just, you think about at a small college, the barrier number one of, if I'm an athlete, the pressure is on, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep. Got to perform.
Got to perform. Back to that word perform. You know, and secondly, I don't want anybody to know. You know, a college, it might, you know, whether it's like an Olivet or a Albion or Calvin or, you know, where physically the resources might not even be there.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's interesting.
Well, back to the word stigma, too. I think as much as we all tease millennials, I think millennials are bringing it back. Like, they're saying, I need help. They're going to therapists. Yeah, they might annoy us, and maybe they don't have the work ethic that we all did growing up. But I think they are going to be a huge shift in this this stigma talk about mental health.
I love that. What a great outlook on the millennials. You know? But you're also hitting on something right now that I think a lot of people brush off, like toughen up. Figure it out. You're so weak.
Yeah.
You know, there's that, you know what I mean? And that's a tough thing to combat.
I do have a little bit of that, though. I am a pull your bootstraps up, depending on what it is. But if the person isn't going to come to me and say, hey, I am really struggling, I'm going to tell you to suck it up and get the work done. But if you speak out and say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with, I'm like, okay, let's reassess here. Let's change some things up. So I'm kind of both. I'm kind of in, like, I need to get help, but I'm also like, you're fine. If there's nothing else going on, let's get work done. Like, the world has to keep moving. So
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I kind of bounce back.
You got to balance it.
Yeah. I am reading a book right now called, what is it called? Shoot. The Power of Bad.
Mm.
And it's a really, it's challenged my thinking a bit. That the negative things that happen, you can use it.
Yeah.
You know, that part of being real is, you know how we started this whole podcast with some good things. You know, we started saying, hey, what's something good? What's something good? What's the danger in saying, hey, what's something good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's no danger in it.
No, but what I'm saying is that sometimes people think by thinking positive, we're burying, you know, what could be negative.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think
you have to give room for both.
It is both. And so we've heard of post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Mm-hmm. But I like the idea of post-traumatic growth.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
You know, what do we repeat in our heads? That's what I see as post-traumatic stress, like, because I keep reliving it over and over and over and over, right? Versus post-traumatic growth. Well, where am I going to get that?
Mm. From therapy?
Ah. There you go. You get somebody who's objective, who has not been reliving it over and over again, to just kind of, well, what about this?
Yeah. You know,
what
just about slow that? Your thoughts down a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, step one is knowing your enemy, right?
Yep. And it's yourself.
And a lot of times it is. And honestly, that's part of the reason why I do this podcast, is that I don't want to rehash. I don't want to relive. I don't want to, you know, I'm going to choose something different.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I like it.
So, okay. So what inspires you today? You know, whether it's podcasting, whether it's, what is it that's driving you right now?
I mean, for me, a lot of it is podcasting. I put a lot of self-worth in what I can produce. We talk about work ethic. You know, I want to be the best producer at work. When I'm the best producer and I do the best job, it gives me self-worth. I do struggle with that. I struggle a lot with my self-esteem in the jobs I do, like an Uber driver or doing lawn care. There's really not a lot of status to that. And I feel a little bad about it. I know that's my own thing. Like, no one probably gives two craps about it. That is what I feel. But I think what drives me, inspires me, is the podcast, because I can, like, I'm creating it. And yeah, it's not for everyone. It may not be the best, but it's what I'm doing. And I can just say, yeah, I'm a podcaster. And so it's kind of a self-esteem thing for me as we kind of get deep in here a little bit. But sure. But yeah, that's kind of what's driving me right now. But
you're creative. That's what I think.
But
too,
see,
though.
The problem is I'm really not creative.
But what I'm saying is, but what you just said is in terms of what I produce.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I'm, anyway,
I guess I wouldn't look at myself. I'm not creative. I don't know. I like to talk and I like the process of podcasting and the work that goes in it. But yeah. But I have to. I'm struggling with balancing that in life, in family, in friends, and I'm working on that. But I get a little obsessed.
Okay, all right, Ben. What's inspiring you today?
I would say connection. I'm going back to again this weekend when we did a marathon of interviews with people for our podcast, and just the connections that we're able to make with people in other states. You know. In completely different settings, with different backgrounds, with different stories. I'm just fascinated by the connections that can be formed and you know, and what good comes from those connections. The world is small. It's a lot smaller than we think it is. And we have far more in common with people than we have things that divide us. And I'm just fascinated by the idea of connecting with people who may not see things the way I do or believe the way I do or anything like that, but just being able to form a connection that's meaningful and, you know, brings encouragement to both sides that inspires me. That gets me up in the morning.
All right. So using that connection piece, and this is going to kind of circle back to the therapy options that people have. What do you think of online therapy? Like the BetterHelp, you know, I can't physically drive. You guys are laughing.
When is this being released?
April. Probably.
Okay. We can talk about it.
Late March or early April.
Well, BetterHelp is actually a sponsor of Threads.
Heck
podcast
yeah.
Now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, congratulations. That's great.
Yeah. Thank
I
you.
Initially kind of had a, I wouldn't call it a negative view. I just kind of saw it as really, just because I value connection so much, and a lot of connection happens face to face when you can see the person, when you're sharing space with them. So in my initial thought was, I just don't get it. It's not for me. But after hearing about BetterHelp and seeing some testimonials and hearing about the context in which it's beneficial, like if somebody's in a remote town and they don't have the resources or there's no therapist to be found, they can go to BetterHelp and talk to somebody. And I think that's brilliant. So I think it has its place and it is definitely needed. And the fact that it's very confidential and you can kind of have control over that element of it also makes it very appealing to somebody who may be in a abusive or otherwise disruptive relationship. They can have a place of solace on their phone and they can password protect it and they can delete the data. And there's just really, you know, it may not be for me, but it meets a need for people that are in those unique situations. And I'm so glad that BetterHelp exists.
Well stated. I mean, and we were talking about barriers earlier.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, what are some of the barriers right there that are addressed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool. They did not reach out to us. I actually just went to their website and sent them a message. 2 days later, you're like, yeah, send us your numbers. Send us a proposal.
Yep.
And now, mind you, it's not a lot of money. We priced it accordingly what we thought were worth. But it's still cool. Like, yay, you know, we're finally, someone's noticing it and maybe listen to a few episodes and like, yeah, this is a good. I mean, the Ladies Office podcast has BetterHelp as a sponsor. So, you know, they're getting like 100,000 downloads per episode or something crazy. So for us little piddly podcasts in Grand Rapids, Michigan to get it, it was a huge win. So,
yeah, I same as you. I at first thought, I don't know if that's the right thing. And then I thought, well, I know what's the wrong thing. Not doing anything.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and so,
but how,
and you know how you said earlier, you can always switch to a different therapist.
Yeah.
That sure makes that easier.
Yeah.
No, you know, I'm on a screen. I didn't connect after one or two. I can easily switch to another.
The crazy part with BetterHelp, and I'm not trying to push their ad or anything, of course, you can be anonymous. You don't have to say your name. You can do it all via text. You can do a video. Like, they give you all these options to do. You can lock the app so that only you have a PIN. So if you're worried about a significant other, not that you should try to hide it, but that sometimes, I say some stuff in therapy I don't want my wife to say. I mean, and she comes to marriage therapy with my therapist. Of course, she's professional, wouldn't say any of that stuff, but I think that's why it's a good fit. I think, especially with the millennials that we talked about coming up, they're more tech savvy. They like the texting and stuff. But I agree with Ben. I think face-to-face is the way to go.
All right. Well, I'm going to reveal something.
Okay.
I tried BetterHelp.
Did you?
I did. Now, they say you can try a week for free or something like that. And so I feel kind of bad because at the end of the week, I'm like, you know what? I'm good.
Oh, well, that's all right.
And I even said to the guy who was with, I said, you know, it's funny. I guess apparently just needed to voice a couple of things I hadn't voiced, and now I feel great. And I said, I feel better. He goes, please just go ahead. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. My sister actually does therapy, not for BetterHelp, but does that kind of online therapy. I'm sorry. She's a social worker, so she gets paid to do it.
Yeah.
But
it was just a good reminder to me, too, that if I let things spin around in my head too long, it's sometimes all I needed to do was tell somebody.
Yeah, yes. There's been so many times I've gone to therapy and I almost canceled because I had nothing to talk about. But then I talk for an hour nonstop. Right? And she's probably like, oh, would you shut up? No, she doesn't say
no,
that.
No, I feel good just saying that.
Good.
Hardly anybody even knows about that. But
yeah.
When I look back to my own history, you know, I tried the psychotherapy before, which, you know, sometimes there's just value in actually hearing another voice or even hearing yourself. And you're like, you put it out there and you're like, did I just say that?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, that was the value there. So, I mean, I'm joining with you guys in terms of, hey, it's okay to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, I've had a few aha moments in the last month with therapy, like legit, like, like jaw dropping. I'm like, yes.
That's
like
what breakthroughs. I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mic like, drop on myself.
Yeah, exactly. It's been
so
great.
True.
Yeah. You know, I was asking my wife earlier about this, and the way she has said it before, talking is the answer.
Mm.
Meaning like when she thinks back to family and all that, if only we had communicated is a common theme, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it solves a lot of problems.
Yeah. So, and then of course I think about where you, around where you live, Ben, have you noticed on Plainfield that there's two axe throwing places?
Yes. Yeah, I've been to one of them. They actually hate each other. The one I was one near Fred's Pizza, closer to that one. I went to that one.
That's right by my house.
Yeah, and they were like, they don't do. I remember talking to them because we went there for like a company Christmas party for Weed and Feed, and the owners were like, they don't do it right. They sit too far back. They sell booze there. I don't know. It was something like that. It's kind of hilarious.
Which this seems like out of right field that I'm bringing X throwing up.
Yeah, it is out of
Why
right field.
Why do you think it might be popular?
Just
it's an outlet.
It's an outlet. It's. Amazing. Yeah. Although it's frustrating too. You think it would be easy.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. Like you have to make micro adjustments to get it to stick.
I think it's a great outlet.
Yeah.
I've never tried it.
You should do it. It's
but
great.
I am thinking about, hey, if I'm not seeing somebody and talking about stuff, I'm going to go throw an axe.
There you yeah.
When it hits and it hits in the center, you're like,
well, hey, is there anything else you want our listeners to know? This has been great, and I so appreciate your transparency.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun to be on someone else's podcast and not have to worry about the tech stuff. And I enjoy just talking. I could talk forever. I mean, if you had questions, I'd sit here forever and just talk. I know no one wants
maybe
to
have a part two.
Yeah, it could be. And you'll have to come on our podcast.
I already accept that invitation.
Yeah, Joe kind of came to us, and we kind of that's another thing. I like to peer pressure people into podcasting.
Ooh, that so was you, a peer, you peer pressure people into therapy, and then you peer pressure into podcasting.
Yeah. I enjoy teaching people. Yeah. My sister's like, you need to start this online business where you I'm like, I don't have time for that. I'm just enjoying like helping people. Like I get value if someone messages me and says, hey, I'm really struggling with this. Do you know how to do it? I'm like, I do. So, we Joe reached out to us and we kind of sat down at a meeting and that's, I'm so excited that you're doing
Ben, Jason, there's no doubt I wouldn't be recording right now if you hadn't helped me with that final step of just actually
pushing you towards
I mean and it was as simple as where'd you get your microphones what software do you use how do you even I mean it's that final barrier that final barrier of crossing because I have been sitting on the idea for many months
really
yes
well what made you, I mean, why did you start thinking about it many months ago, like what was initial like trigger of like I need to do this. I need an outlet.
All right. There's a couple things.
I'm flipping the script here.
It's fine. It could be a really long podcast in itself. But so there's the guy I work for. His name is Flip Flippin, believe it or not.
Okay.
Okay. Which, you know, but he wrote a book called Your Third Story.
Mm.
All right. And the idea is, the first story was written on you. You had no choice in that story.
Okay.
The second story is the one we allow others to tell us about ourselves.
Hmm.
Okay?
Which happens a lot.
Yes, and that a lot of times we're listening to the wrong people.
Yes.
The third story you write.
Okay? I love it.
So there's that. That was going on. But at the same time, the last 4 years, I've picked one word per year to center on.
Hmm.
Okay? So it might be peace or it might be stretch. In fact, the word stretch for 1 year... Instead of a big mission statement for the whole year or a resolution or whatever, it's just one word. So that was the year that I was like, okay, I need to stretch and do things I didn't think I could do. So that was when I ran a marathon and all that kind of stuff. And there was a lot of other branches there. This year, and I do it in November because that's my birthday, was the word voice.
Hmm.
So the word voice meant to me that I have to overcome my tendency to avoid conflict and voice what I'm thinking more.
Ben.
You know, Yeah. But then, of course, then you can see the natural step to podcast.
Yeah.
Not only am I going to voice more what I'm thinking, but I'm going to help people discover their voice, too.
Okay.
You know?
So are you going to quit podcasting after this year?
That's a good question. As you know, it is a commitment.
It is.
It's a commitment to keep this up. And, you know, as of right now, I don't see that ending, but, you know, I have a Word document of a bunch of people's names of people I want to ask. And as long as I can continue to stack my interviews like you guys have done now,
yeah,
you know, where I take a Saturday and get a bunch done and let it move to, you know, as long as I can keep that going, then I'm going to keep going.
Okay. Well, I have a website for you, and I can
Okay, good.
Thousands of people. Like, it has to be remote, but I can thousands
and
of people.
I finally figured that out, too, in terms of phone calls. But
yeah.
And the ultimately, the cool thing, too, about podcasting is that I can have an interview go as long as I want or not.
You are in control, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And I said early on, if my wife and my son think it's a cool podcast and they're the only listeners, I had a good time doing it.
Yeah. I mean, gotta enjoy it.
And you know, so learning from you guys, learning your stories, learning, I figure I'm getting a lot out of it already. So
great. Yeah. You know, good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for having us on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I want to be on more, so I don't just can show up and pull up a mic and be like, "Sup?" Like, don't have to stress about all the other crap.
Yeah.
Well, I sure appreciate what you guys are doing, and thanks for talking about therapy today. I think the more we can equip others or help people even go get the tools, the more we're impacting people.
Yeah. And if anyone's listening, you can reach out to us. We have a few resources that we can get you. I mean, we've a therapist or push you in the right direction. We had somebody reach out from New Jersey. Don't know who she is, but anonymously it was like, I need some help, you know? So yeah, we've had a few people reach out, and that is the best ever.
That is the best. Yes.
Like, I don't care about the, I care about the numbers, but when you get that email or that message, you're just like, I mean, you get goosebumps. You legit get goosebumps.
We had one guest that we interviewed on Saturday, and she was anti-therapy because she had some very poor experiences. Yeah. But by the end of our interview, she was like, okay, well, maybe this is something I can explore again.
Yeah.
So
that was huge. And I think it was legit when she said that. She seemed to be a pretty genuine, like, I say it like it is. And she was like, yeah, I think I might need to explore it again.
Well, I'm going to connect both your words right now, the reveal and the release.
Okay.
In terms of really what this is all about. I think one of the reasons why we don't talk to each other is that, number one, I don't know if I can help you. Right? I don't know if I have the tools.
Sure.
Right.
Right. None of us should feel like we have to go help somebody, but we should be able to release them to somebody who can.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able, all of us should feel equipped enough to get, to, number one, just be a listening ear. But number two, I might not know how to help, but I'm going to help you find somebody.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go with you?
Yeah.
That, we should all be able to do that.
Yeah, that's easy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so it sounds like that's what you guys are able to do with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah.
And with that, I think we're done.
Sweet.
All right. Thanks for the opportunity. All right.
So hey, feel free to check out the Threads podcast or GRI Chair or Root of All Ben.
Yeah.
I'll connect all those in the show notes.
And perfect.
Again, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
all right.
You.
Peace out. All right, so are you ready to rechoice? I've linked Jason and Ben's podcasts in the show notes. Dudes, thanks for keeping it real. Listeners, I sure do appreciate your encouragement and feedback along the way. Please send all comments or requests by going directly to rechoicepod.com, where you can also select your rechoice word. My son Danny produced our music, and listeners, thank you for joining us today. Reframe your past, renew your present, reclaim your future, because after all, it's always a choice. See you next time.